Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.
Voice of the Cape, Drive Time, welcome to the show. A High Court judgment in the Bancorp CIX case has resurrected calls for the removal of public protector Busiswe Makhubwane from office on the basis that she misconstrued her powers and is grossly incompetent. Online is Advocate Paul Hoffman, Director at the Institute for Accountability in Southern Africa. Paul Hoffman, welcome to the show.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak to your listeners.
Pleasure is ours, and the stories are coming thick and fast. As I went into studio, the story is broken that former Western Cape Police Commissioner Arnold Lamour has been found guilty of corruption, and Atul Gupta claims to have signed an affidavit in Dubai. But of course our focus is now on the public protector, who seems to have been protecting people such as those we've mentioned.
Yes, which is quite contrary to the scope of the mandate of the public protector, who, as the name suggests, should be protecting the public against maladministration and corruption rather than facilitating maladministration and corruption. See, the public protector in South Africa is a internationally unique office. Many countries have an ombudsman, and most ombudsmen get the function of recommending solutions to problems that are brought to them. Our public protector has to do three things, basically. Investigate maladministration and corruption, report on the investigation, and take appropriate remedial action. Those are the three things she is meant to do. This current public protector has honored her mandate in the breach. She seems to think that she's some kind of free agent who can do whatever takes her fancy without regard to the limits of her constitutional mandate and without regard to what the law allows her to do. I would agree with those who are now calling for a head. I see that the EFF and the DA are both on the same page, and it's really a question of Parliament investigating her fitness for office and making a call as to whether they want her to be removed from office in terms of Section 191 of the Constitution.
Now, looking at the situation we're dealing with at the moment, because there seems to be a lot of confidence, a spring in the step, of a number of role players on this whole landscape of corruption, whether it's institutes like yours or whether those who are running away, that there seems to be some kind of confidence now that things will actually be done. Would you say that the public protector being removed is as urgent as the removal of ministers such as Batabile Dlamini, Des van Rooyen and others?
Oh, yes, very much so. You see, what you've got to realize is that the tar and the rubber of service delivery meet not in the cabinet or in the political sphere, but in the field of the public administration. So it's far more important to get rid of a dud head of the hawks, far more important to bring Sean Abrams' appeal to court as soon as possible, and I see his appeal is coming up on the 28th of this month, which is excellent progress on that front. And certainly far more important that our public protector should not be the former presidency's pick to protect that cabal, but rather be a person who understands that the role of the public protector is to deal with maladministration and corruption in a constitutionally compliant way. And it seems that Busisiwe Mkhubwane does not have a cooking clue as to what she is supposed to be doing, and what was put into her current position by the Zuma administration in circumstances that do not stand up to close scrutiny in the light of what we now know about her.
In fact, I've heard some members of the portfolio subcommittee that interviewed her saying that they feel let down, that she gave a very impressive presentation and handled herself well in the interview. And I suppose hindsight is 20/20 vision, but some of them claiming that in a sense they feel almost betrayed that she showed all this promise only to disappoint upon delivery.
Well, it is true that the DA was the only political party in the committee that would not support her candidature, but the EFF has certainly repented, and I think the other smaller parties that went with her must feel very let down, because she's just gone from disaster to disaster. She lies. Doesn't understand her mandate, she doesn't answer questions, and she has produced reports that do not stand up to judicial scrutiny. The fact that the court has ordered her personally to pay a portion of the costs, and that's a lot of money, in this CIEX, Absa Bank, Reserve Bank debacle, is an indication of what a dim view the courts are taking of her. So it really is, in the interest of accountability, it is incumbent upon Parliament to have a proper investigation into her office and to get rid of her if she does not come up with suitable explanations for the strange things she's done.
And of course, there's her report on the Free State Dairy Farm, where one reads it, there's more missing than what is actually in it. For example, there's absolutely nothing said about the role of the Guptas and some of the main role players. It's kind of...
You're looking in vain for the word Gupta, Zwani, and Magashula, all of whom played pivotal roles in that Frieda Estima dairy farm. That thing is a complete disgrace. I mean, it's been in the public domain that something fishy was done there since 2013, when the Mail and Guardian broke the story, and not until the eve of the departure of Jacob Zuma have the Hawks, National Prosecuting Authority, or anybody else done anything about bringing the persons responsible to book. So it really doesn't wash that she can bring out a report that simply doesn't mention the political players and their friends, and then cry that she doesn't have enough resources to do a report. It's a question of reading the Gupta leaks. I mean, it's not a big job.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, just read a couple of emails and you'll find out what's going on.
Exactly.
Now, it does seem as if as soon as the shadow of Zuma no longer carried any weight in the union buildings, that the Hawks started to get down to business. It's been quite interesting how they've been arresting people all over the place.
It's interesting, but it's also alarming. Mm-hmm. It's alarming because the Hawks have always been a less than effective body. And the fact that they spring into action as soon as the political wind changes tells you that they are still not adequately independent to do their job without fear, favor, or prejudice. It should not matter who is in the West Wing of the Union buildings. They ought to be doing their job in an unbiased, fair way, every day, all day, irrespective of whether Cyril Ramaphosa is calling the shots or Jacob Zuma is calling the shots. The courts have been very clear about this. We've got, if you're going to be good at your anti-corruption job, you've got to be free from executive influence and executive interference. Now, certainly things like the persecution of Pravin Gordhan, and I use the word persecution advisedly, was a clear indication of executive interference in the activities of the Hawks, which led to these trumped-up charges that had to be abandoned after 3 weeks because the facts simply showed that Pravin Gordhan had done nothing wrong. On the other side of the equation, these sudden arrests around the Estima Dairy, which, as I say, has been a news story since 2013, tells you that the Hawks have known all along what needs to be done, and they're only doing it now that the political influence and interference of the Zuma administration is no longer restraining them. That's not good news. It's actually bad news because it's telling you that the Hawks swing with the wind in the executive branch of government, whereas what they should be doing is getting on with their job at all times, irrespective of who happens to be in charge politically.
Of course, there's a question that the Hawks were a creation of the Zuma regime, who were getting very uncomfortable from the heat that the scorpions were generating. Yeah. And of course, the heat of the scorpions, or the sting of the scorpions, extended its way even into the Mbeki office. But it was under Zuma that we saw the scorpions being shoved under a rock and the Hawks metamorphosizing from top of a mountain somewhere.
Yes. Now, what happened was that at the Polokwane ANC conference, at which Jacob Zuma ousted Thabo Mbeki as president of the ANC, an urgent resolution was passed saying the Hawks, the Scorpions, must be disbanded urgently, and their investigative personnel must be transferred to the South African Police Service. And when Helen Zille, who was then the leader of the opposition in Parliament, went and asked at Luthuli House, why is this being done? The answer came back, well, the Scorpions are going after too many leading ANC politicians and their friends, and we're not prepared to tolerate it. Now, that's exactly the wrong reason to close down an effective anti-corruption body. It was fought. Bob Glenister took them all the way to the Constitutional Court three times, and what we have out of that fight is these rather tame and useless Hawks who are now springing into action for the first time in their entire existence to go after big fish, because the biggest fish of them all, Jacob Zuma, is no longer in a position of political power and influence. That is not what the Constitutional Court has given as the recipe for anti-corruption machinery of state. And to an extent, the public protector operates in the corruption world, but not in the prosecution, only in the uncovering of corruption. So if you want your Hawks to function as the court asks and requires that they function, and they have to be specialized, properly trained, adequately independent, resourced in a way that enables them to do their work properly, not at this, we didn't have enough resources to do our investigation story. And most important of all, and this is what tripped up the Scorpions, the Hawks should be secure in their tenure of office, which means that an unhappy politician who finds that his friends or his family are under investigation cannot simply move to close them down or to fire them. The security of tenure of office is what made it possible. The lack of security of tenure of office is what made it possible to close down the Scorpions, because they were simply a creature of an ordinary statute and could be closed down by a simple majority in Parliament. If you want to avoid that happening again, then you ought to make your anti-corruption machinery of state a Chapter 9 institution, which can only be closed down if two-thirds of the parliamentarians agree that it is a good idea to do so. And until that is done, I'm afraid we're in a wonderful civil spring. The buffalo spring is with us, but that buffalo spring must to be less fruitful if we do not get to grips with putting proper anti-corruption machinery of state in place.
And absolutely, I think everybody listening to us right now would definitely agree with your sentiments then. Of course, I mean, as you were talking, I was thinking of the resplendent irony that our former number one and even members of his family, ironically, might find themselves arrested by the very same hawks we're discussing. That's a supreme irony, isn't it?
Yes. Now, certainly, Jacob Zuma has 783 charges or counts of corruption hanging over from before his presidency. And during his presidency, he's been involved in state capture, which is hundreds and hundreds of charges. He's been involved in getting rid of a national director of public prosecutions in a corrupt fashion, which is 15 years if he's convicted for doing that. And he's been involved in all manner of shenanigans around the refurbishment of Nkandla. Those three areas ought to keep the Criminal Justice Administration busy for quite some time if they are dealt with effectively and efficiently as the Constitution requires.
And let's hope that that is the case. Paul Hoffman, Advocate Paul Hoffman, Director of the Institute for Accountability in South Africa. We started chatting about Public Protector Busiswe Mkhwebane. I think most people agree it's time that she went, as with so many other public figures, and of course that the hawks need to have real claws and a real beak and some constitutional backbone to be able to do their jobs properly. But Paul Hoffman, as always, thanks for chatting to us. Enjoy the rest of the week, which looks like it's going to be an interesting one.
I'm sure it will. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to your listeners. It's always a pleasure.
Drive Time on 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.